Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Got another bonus episode for Thursday.
We're excited to bring it to you. Previously of a premium episode, now it's out there for all y'all. We recorded this in 2015 at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival. Our guests, Ian Carmel and Dana Gould. We had a blast with these guys. We loved and are stoked to be able to give you guys these on Extra Thursday Eps. Please enjoy.
All right. All right.
What up?
You can kill it.
Feaster Nation.
God. First of all, I want to say.
First of all, guys, I just want to say.
Every fucking Tuesday. I just want to say thank you to the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, all the producers, and especially all the volunteers who are volunteering their time, their gas, for getting all of us around the shows. Thank you very much.
I did want to say to the volunteers, I know you're volunteering, but it doesn't mean you can't work hard, you know what I mean? So if you could just...
and thank you to all of you. Where are all the Portland feasters? Yeah, it's quite a bit of you here. Thank you very much. We're excited to be back. We've got two great guests today. I don't think we need to waste any more time.
Nope.
Jay, would you like to say something else?
No, Ryan. Looks like you said it all.
Said it all, as always.
Ryan and I are roommates right now, currently roommates.
We are currently roommates.
Ryan snores. Ryan snores.
I do.
Loudly. Let's get the show started. What do you think?
Thanks, man.
We're excited. We have two great guests. One of the great things about being at the festival is there's so many great comedians here. Lucky to have these two. First guy, I'd like to welcome to the stage. First time in the Crab Feast. Please welcome Dana Gould, everybody.
Dana Gould. Welcome to the Crab Feast. He's coming.
Dana Gould, everybody. Dana Gould.
Coming. He's coming.
Dana Gould, everybody. The dramatic entrance.
Dana Gould, everybody.
It's like a town hall meeting. First question, sir.
I wanted to be of the people.
You were. Welcome, Dana Gould, everyone. There you go.
It takes 40 minutes to descend those stairs. It's like a scene from Dark Shadows. It just takes too long to accomplish.
This was nice. I like this coming through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was wondering what you were doing, how you were going to do it. Once I saw you not coming down the stairs, I knew you were going to plan B, and I liked your plan B.
It's just weird to be at this step in the situation. It just makes you want to go, I don't know, Senator.
Well,
you always lean into the... Yes, Senator.
Well, we sincerely appreciate you being here. You know, you needed no introduction, but I love the way you came to the stage.
But I'm glad you did give me one because it let me finish peeing, which is really why I was over there.
See, that's why you came through the box.
A true professional.
And totally clean, by the way.
So you are originally from Massachusetts.
I am. I'm from... I grew up in the middle. You are also from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You're from?
Stoneham,
which is north.
About 15 minutes north, yeah.
Right. I grew up about 45 minutes southwest of Boston in a little town called Hopedale, recently named the most ironically named town in the country. There's a name awards. In 1969, John Wayne made a cowboy film called Chisholm. which was, at the same award ceremony, voted the most carefully pronounced film of 1961.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Hope Dale is it's a beautiful name, and then it's just beautiful town, and there's a big rotting factory right in the middle of it. It's as if it's like if you knew a beautiful woman with a giant bullet hole right by the nose.
And, anybody else that we would know that's from Hope Dale?
Yes, Joe Perry, the guitarist for Aerosmith.
Aerosmith, yeah.
Whose mother was our gym teacher in high school. It's me and Joe. And
his mom was
Hopedale.
Your gym teacher in high school?
Yeah, Mrs. Perry was our gym teacher in high school. But Hopedale is like, there's not a lot going on. In Hopedale, you see a lot of kids, like 9, 10-year-old kids just going, this is it, huh?
Hopedale.
You know, I get up, I hit the big wheel, and
I hit the big wheel.
And about 4 hours later, I'm like, well, what did that do? I'm no closer to anything that matters.
How'd you get out of there?
When did we die? I'm sorry?
How did you get out of there?
I got out because I really wanted to be a comedian, and that was the only thing that drove me out of being in this little town. I have to give a lot of credit to stand-up comedy in that regard, not to be serious or airy-fairy about it, but I really wanted to be a stand-up comedian from my early teenage years. And when I was about 15 or 16, my mom took me to see George Carlin.
Great mom.
Yeah, it's great. It's great nice mom. To be Good next mom. To your mom when you're a teenager and hear a grown man saying things like fur burger, and which is on the menu of the Doug Fur. There's a fur burger
Original
on the
name,
menu
sure.
of the Doug Fur. And and I ordered it, and it was not a vagina. So I don't even know what they're doing. But and I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. A band with no instruments. That's what I want to do. And so that really pushed me way... That pushed me way out of my comfort zone. I went to college, and then I moved to Boston, and then I moved to San Francisco, all driven by and financially supported by doing comedy. And had I not had that, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would be... managing the local movie theater in my hometown, and I weigh about 400 pounds. So I owe it a lot. Anais Nin said that your life expands or contracts in relation to your bravery. And I think that that's a good example of that. But I also think at a certain point, you want to just stop being brave. Now I'm really into my pajamas.
I call them night pants.
Yeah, my night pants.
Straight up in my night pants.
Yeah, bro. Now I'm... Now I'm really into getting home in time to watch Perry Mason on MeTV. I like to sit down. I like me and Perry, just me and the biggest, gayest lawyer in the 1950s, and I relax. There comes a time where I go, I'll let them do it.
Well, tomorrow
or the new Star Treks, which they also show on MeTV.
On MeTV, new Star Treks.
Well,
there you go.
Well, the old Star Treks with the new effects. This line of conversation is the leading cause of vaginal dryness.
You're drying up fur burgers around everywhere right now, Dana.
Hear women's reproductive organs turning into Funyuns.
Well, tomorrow is Mother's Day, and we talked to you upstairs. You had a Mother's Day story.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Share.
I was like. What's a good story? I was like, oh, nothing interesting has ever happened to me. And then I thought, well, maybe there was that time in 1974 where on Mother's Day my dad had his teeth kicked out by a 19-year-old woman that my brother then beat up. And then I thought, do you want to do that? Like, all right.
Hope
we can do that if you want. When I was a kid, where I grew up was very
small.
Suburban. It was small. It was woodsy. It's a lot of pickup trucks. It's a lot of gun racks. It's a lot of... My cousin Greg is one of these guys. A lot of camouflage hoodies.
It's a white trash.
A lot of white trash. A lot of half-finished dental procedures.
Yeah, on a plan.
Yeah.
Just going with the tops, huh?
Yeah, something broken off at the gum line. A lot of people, beautiful, but like the one dead tooth right in the front.
That
you ever
yellow
see that?
Dead one, yeah.
Yeah, the yellow dead one, and you think, maybe do something about that. Maybe paint it. A good example of how I grew up was we had a tree in our front yard. And I grew up on my home address growing up was, okay, let's back all the way back to when my parents fucked for me.
For you.
I don't think, but here's the thing. I don't think that was the reason. I was born, this is all true. I was born on August 24th, 1964, which is exactly 9 months and 2 days after the Kennedy assassination.
That's
which tells
interesting.
You all you need to know about how my father processes grief. So my father came home so sad at the tragic events in Dallas that he had to reaffirm the concept of living by tossing one into mom and by taking his own personal Manlinker Carcano and firing off a lucky shot into the baby bunker.
It was the magic bullet.
It was the Lee Harvey Oswald.
You, man.
Lee Harvey Oswald was not the only guy to pull off a lucky shot day. And then I was born 9 months later, and my address growing up was 9 Cemetery Street.
What?
Yeah, I lived on. Yeah, it was
plot 9.
It was a little
two more
street.
Down.
Yeah,
plot
it was a little 9. Street, and this is true. There's a little street that ended at Hopedale Village Cemetery. At the corner, across from the gates, lived my friend Rusty Putnam, Russell Irving Putnam. His initials were R.I.P. He lived right across the street from the cemetery. God.
You know what's funny, man?
You know what's creepy
God
about
damn it.
That?
Rusty, get out
Rusty,
here,
come
man.
On get down there, Rusty.
Come on down,
come
man.
On, Rusty Putnam.
Bring your shovel, man.
What's strange is... my friend... I was talking to my friend Steve Higgins, who now is on The Tonight Show. He's now the announcer on The Tonight Show.
You know where else he's on? Steve Higgins!
Steve!
Get your ass down here, Steve!
Steve,
use
Steve
a rope ladder.
Also... Steve also, it's so funny, if Rusty Putnam was still alive and they could get him on The Tonight Show and he had discovered the cure for AIDS, they would go, let's get to the cure for AIDS in a minute. Do you want to play Gnip Gnop with Emma Stone? and then if we have time, we'll get to AIDS. Steve Higgins also knew a Rusty Putnam. But we grew up, so there's several Rusty Putnams in our land. I grew up, I was the Goulds. On Cemetery Street, fill in your own joke. And my father, you know, my dad and my four older brothers and a dad and a mom and a sister, big Irish Catholic family, and they all just hunted and fished and played sports. And my father, to this day, cannot comprehend the fact that I don't like to hunt, I don't like to fish, I'm not really into sports, but I am heterosexual. He cannot... Yeah.
Where do you fall on the line?
To my
I mean, like
father,
the age, guys.
My life should with my likes and dislikes in the world. To my dad's view, my life should just be a car wash of dicks. Just a.
it's brushless, man.
Yeah, I'm just a. I just managed to. I could. I like, and I think it's just because I like carbs too much. You know, I could never get my weight down that much. That's the great thing about gay culture, especially in Los Angeles, is that they are not they are an open-minded culture. They are an all-embracing culture. If you have 0% body fat, it doesn't matter if you're black or white or Latino or Asian. As long as you have 0% body fat, you are welcome. So my dad, when I was a kid, started a bar. There's a law in Massachusetts that if you have a private club that you can, the blue laws don't apply. There used to be blue laws, which meant that bars weren't opened on Sunday. Bars and stores used to be closed on Sunday.
Unless you're within 15 miles of the New Hampshire border.
Right.
Because in New Hampshire, you can buy it, and they're like, well, we don't want to lose the money, so you got to go within 15 minutes.
That's why New Hampshire is the motto on the license plates in New Hampshire is live free or die. And what's important to remember is that those license plates are made by people in prison.
Yeah.
I have two brothers that are prison guards.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I don't. What do you say to the, like, your high school guidance counselor? I don't like anal rape per se, but I see it as a part of my job.
I like overseeing it.
I want to be around it.
I want it in the milieu. Yeah.
I want to safely watch that happen.
Like, I could referee it or judge it or whatever my.
I want to let people I don't like get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So two brothers, prison guards.
Yeah, two brothers that are prison guards. Two brothers work for the phone company.
Same prison?
No. Different organization. My oldest brother went on to run the stress unit for the Massachusetts correctional facilities, which is if a guard goes in, you know, if something really horrible happens to a guard and they need to talk about it, they talk to my brother, which is odd because I've maybe said four words to my brother in my life. He's not the most emotive human being I ever know.
He's stressed.
Well, this is
You think we could get him on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah. That would be. Okay.
That's a good joke.
This would be my brother on your. This would be my brother Dick. And it's funny because my name is. I'm the last boy, and then it segued to my sister, and my oldest brother's name is Dick. So they got less specifically male as they moved on down. To actually, Dana could go either way, and then it went right there. His real name is. Dick is his nickname, of course. His real name is Cock. But if you, this would be my brother Dick on your podcast. Just ask any question.
So, did you, like, what was your first job growing up?
I don't fucking know.
What if I came
And then he'd just stare you down.
What if I came to him and I was like, you know, when I was on the job, I watched one guy beat the shit out of another guy with like a club in this cell.
Yeah, talk about it. Talk about your feelings. I don't know. Talk about it. There was a guy that hung himself in the prison. Okay, there's a thing in prisons called suicide detail. And my brother Jim, who's the other prison guard, who's the greatest guy in the world, super hilarious guy, told me this great story about being on suicide watch. And I have to tell it. I do, and I have to.
I love that you have no problem being like, this other brother fucking dick. This guy, the best in the world.
He is. Jim's awesome. They're never going to hear this. They still call computers magic typing televisions. So this is my brother Jim's story about being on suicide watch. We're driving around. He goes, so I got a brand new truck, right? Brand new truck, beautiful, and it's snowing like a bastard. And the guy overslept, and now I'm late. And I go out and I stop my truck, and the wiper goes boom, and it just breaks off because it hits a big chunk of ice on the windshield. Now I'm bullshit, and I'm driving to work, and I get my hand out the window. I'm rubbing it with a rag. I'm squirting it with shit, trying to get, you know, I can't drive over 10 miles an hour. I get to work, I'm late. I don't even have time to get a buzz in the parking lot. I got to go right into work. And I'm on fucking suicide watches. I'm sitting outside of a cell watching a guy who's on suicide watches. A line of us. We're all eyeballing these guys. And I'm just sitting there and I'm just bullshitting. This guy's, you know, he's storming around. He's throwing his cup against the wall. And I don't even look at him. I'm just bullshit, staring there. And then finally, after like 2 hours, he goes, Officer Gould, can I say something? I go, what? He goes, I've been here for another 43 years and you look more pissed off than I am. What's the problem? And I go, my wiper broke. It's all relative. So one of these guys did end up hanging themselves, and they had to have a big meeting of all the guards that my other brother had to attend to. And he goes, all right, you're going to have a lot of PTSD about this. You're going to talk about your feelings. It's a mandatory meeting. And he gives the preliminary speech, and he goes, all right, before we get into the film, is there any questions? My other brother raised his hand. He goes, yeah, can I go? He goes, yeah, get out of here. The other guys go, I thought this was mandatory. And he goes, hey, it's my brother. He's too stupid. This won't bother him at all. So my dad found a way to drink on Sundays. My father realized that if they started a private club that they could drink on Sundays and there'd be no blue laws.
Oh, nice.
So he opened on him and his friends went in and bought this like old barn sort of thing on Lake Nipmuc. And it became the Nipmuc Rod and Gun Club, which was a private
a fan. A member.
Private hunting club for my dad and his friends, and they had a bar in the basement, and that was their private bar. And if you were a member, you could drink on Sunday, and then everybody in the town became a member. And if you ever see the Simpsons episode Homer the Moe, it is based on my dad bartending at the
Naval
Pride and Gun Club. My dad started to bartend there, and I was a kid. You know, we were all kids. I was like, you know, this is the early 70s, and my dad was like, "You guys want to go in the truck? You want to go in the truck?" We're like, "Yeah!" We'd all jump in the back of the truck, and then my dad would drive up to the Mug Rod and Gun Club, and we'd spend our Saturdays hanging out at a bar. I basically grew up in a bar, like drinking Cokes, eating Reese's Cups, and playing pinball. And my dad would go to this, and he would take shifts during the week. And he would come home at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning on, like, Tuesdays.
You mean Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Tuesdays?
Yeah, because they'd stay open on Tuesdays. And he'd come in hammered. And he would come into my brother's in my bedroom and just turn on the lights. What's going on in here?
How old
well,
are you?
It's a Tuesday. I'm 9.
9.
Scarred for life is what comes to mind. Or he would sing, like he would sing, but he only knew, he would be too drunk to know anything but the first line in the song. So it'd be a lot of, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Rudolph. And for some reason, wouldn't be funny if it wasn't true, come in and drunkenly sing Barbra Streisand's Evergreen. One love, ageless and evergreen.
I think it's sweet.
And I just think, thank God I'm 4 years away from jerking off in bed, because the last thing I want is my father drunkenly singing to me while I'm hiding a boner.
Did you know what drunk was, like at 9?
Drunk was what adults were.
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, I tried it. I did not grow up in an alcoholic home. I grew up in an alcoholic world. I didn't know people that didn't get drunk every night. I didn't know them. It's hard to describe to people who didn't grow up in that kind of environment. There were no books in my house growing up. The only books were the ones that I had. I remember, like, my mom hammered watching Kojak with her partial out on the arm of the chair.
Shut up, dude.
So as she would breathe, because her lip was flapping like a curtain. And then at one point, just kind of like, get him, Kojak. Get him. And once, this is true. I have 3 children now, and I will say, if this is a lie, may all my children go immediately blind. I'm always putting their welfare at risk. I'm watching The Man from Atlantis with Patrick Duffy, 1977. Watching my mom drinking a wine cooler, sitting there half awake. At one point, she just kind of wakes up and she goes, look at him, swimming like an asshole. And I just wish I'm 13, and I just wish at the time I could go, exactly. So there was an event that happened in our family called the Mother's Day Massacre that happened on Mother's Day in 1974. My dad was bartending at the Nimuck Rod and Gun Club on a Saturday afternoon. And two girls go in to buy some, it was on Sunday, and two girls went in to buy some beer, bar bottles, So you need a no, bar bottles are not twist off. All bar bottles are
flip bottles, whatever.
Which is why Mary Jo Kopechne died, because when Ted Kennedy went into the Chappaquiddick Lake, he goes, oh my God, and he went back, got the cooler, said to Mary, 1 minute. That come back for you. And then he got the cooler, then got on the beach. Shit, bar bottles. Had to go back for the opener.
Can't do it all.
Got the opener. Then I get the opener. Then I'll come back for you. Swam up. Opener bar. Had a couple pops. Forgot about Mary Jo.
Happens.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now, was it not just a bar, but like a packy as well? Like, could you buy beer to go? Or was it
no,
just...
but if you remember, you could ostensibly, like, wink, wink, I want a couple of beers and take it. So these guys sent their girlfriends down to get some beers. They didn't have IDs. So my dad said, get out of here. So, which is completely understandable. He's in the right. Later that night at the bar, the guys come in. And I think my father said to the guys, before Welcome Back Cotter came on television, the term sweat hog was largely derogatory. If referring to someone's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And it's later in the day, so we know how
Yeah, now it's later in the evening, and my dad says, these two, 19-year-old guys, and this is 1974, so everybody has long hair, the style was at its nadir. It's like, I'm so glad Mad Men is ending before Don Draper has to start looking like Ron Burgundy. Yeah. Yeah. Which is what MIE, because I know what happens to that guy. He's my father. So my dad says to these two 18-year-old guys, and my dad at the time is 41 years old, he says, hey, don't send your sweat hog girlfriends in here to buy beer without an ID. Which is, unnecessarily hostile. So the guy and the gentleman take offense. It is as if my father has struck them with a white glove. And the guys go, hey, you want to go outside? Now, this is two 19-year-old guys and one middle-aged guy. So my father does the only thing that you would do in that situation. He says, sure.
I'm with your dad on this.
Right.
I'd so, definitely fight them.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, my brother, all right, let's just to ensure that the sort of quick move to violence in my family, here's my brother Dick telling a story about almost getting a fight once in a McDonald's. After a baseball game. My brother was an all-state catcher for the so he was a very good baseball player. He's a big guy. And he's like, so, we finish the game, and we go to McDonald's. I'm just sitting at McDonald's. And I'm just sitting there, and this guy, every time I look around, every time I look across, there's this guy fucking staring at me. I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit? So I keep eating. I look, and he's looking at me again. And he looks at me again. I'm like, finally, fuck this shit. And I stand up, and he stands up, and I take a step towards him, and it's a fucking mirror. So you didn't recognize this guy at all. So my father goes upstairs. It was located. My father goes upstairs to these two 19-year-old guys. And meanwhile, about 4 miles away at my house, the phone rings. My two older brothers were Dick and Mike. I was like, you guys better get up here. Your father's in a fight. All right. So they get in and they're like, Yahoo! Yeah. They get in the car and they head up to the Nipmuc Rod and Gun Club. The first thing they see when they pull up is the two guys holding my dad down and a third guy kicking him in the face.
Jesus.
So they run up to the guys, and my brothers are huge. I literally think I'm the fifth boy. I think that just my mother's body was running out of testosterone to provide for children by the time I came around. Because my brothers are all like 6'1", 6'2", and huge. In fact, I am famously obsessed with Planet of the Apes. And I remember sitting in a therapist's office talking about my family, and my therapist said, maybe that's why you like Planet of the Apes so much, that you related to the astronaut, because like you were also living in a topsy-turvy world where nothing made sense, and you were just outnumbered by these giant sort of people. And I said, yeah, it's also Moses dressed like Tarzan being chased by King Kong dressed like Fonzie. I mean, sometimes sometimes shit's just cool. So my brothers go running up to the scene of violence, and, you know, everybody's got long hair. My brother Mike grabs the guy that's kicking my father in the face, spins him around, and it's one of the girls. Because it's 1974 and everybody has long hair. So my brother puts her out. In his words, I turned her around, it was Cheryl, and you know what I did? I fucking put her down. Which I have to say, I'm not a fan of domestic violence, but this was outside.
It was outside. It was outside.
True. That's true.
Good point.
And I do kind of like the idea. I mean, she was kicking my dad. I mean, he lost his front teeth. I do like the idea that she is doing this terrible thing and then gets spun around and sees a guy and thinks in, you know, an eighth of a second, well, he's not going to do anything. I'm a girl. Oh, no, he is. Yeah. I think that's funny. I find that hilarious. So the rest of the story I'll just tell like my brother Dick tells it. So, you know, Mike puts Cheryl down and he takes care of the other guy. The other guy goes tearing off into the fucking woods. I went after him, you know. They had to find, you know, the ambulance carried him out. And I see him to this day. I saw him down at Shaw's like a week ago. He still don't talk to me. No.
Oh my God.
No, he's my oldest brother. My oldest brother is an animal. I mean, he was an all-state catcher. Then he became a state policeman. Then he became a prison guard. Then he became a prison official. He's just a monster. And he did. Chase this guy into the woods, and they carry him out, which I could never do that, but I find it quietly hilarious.
How often does that story come up, like at family? Do you have family gatherings now?
I guess so.
But you just don't.
You have to understand, growing up in this environment, I got out of high school and moved as far away as the continent would allow. They lived on the tip of the Atlantic Ocean, and I somehow moved to the tip of the Pacific Ocean. You know, I just ruled out moving onto an oil derrick because it would have made mail inconvenient. So I'm not, you know, I'm sort of the Marilyn Munster of the family. I'm the
Your brothers seem white, to be of your dad's ilk.
Yeah, I'm the white sheep of the family.
The guy and, that likes to fuck after assassinations.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
I would love to know if all your siblings were based on
that would be great
assassinations.
If we, one after the
RFK, JFK,
MLK.
Had a late one when we had Gaddafi. So. Had a late one.
All the way back to the failed attempt on FDR.
Thought they had him. They had him.
And then just if there, you know, one was after just the, you know, the overthrow of the Shah of Iran and. A lot of people were born after 9 months after failed CIA coups of Salvador Allende. But that was just the thing. My dad got his, you know, my dad had a broken wrist and his teeth were knocked out. And
so now they both have partials.
Yeah, they both have. Yeah.
Mom and dad both have partials.
You know, believe me, we're Irish. Our teeth, all of our smiles without the help of professional dentistry look like the skyline of Dresden the day after the bombing. In fact, this is my fear of my teeth in a zombie apocalypse or really any kind of apocalypse. I, oddly growing up in that environment, went on to possess every stress-related disorder known to man. And I ground my teeth so much in my late 20s, early 30s, that my jaw no longer fit in my head anymore because, you know, your teeth are set in a certain way. Your body's amazing. Your teeth are set in a certain way that it holds your jaw perfectly in your condyle, which is the name of that joint. And if your teeth grind down to the point that they don't fit anymore, your jaw goes up higher than it should, which puts pressure on your jawbone, which gives you blinding headaches. So I didn't know why I had all these blinding headaches. I naturally assumed I had eyeball cancer. what I ended up needing was I had to get crowns, and all of my back teeth are crowns.
Did you ever know you were grinding your teeth?
No, because I'm asleep at the time. I just assumed that everybody went to bed dreaming they were eating a boat. I had a dentist, which was an incredibly expensive procedure, and I had an amazing dentist who was like my acting teacher's childhood friend who did it at cost. And I literally had to fly to Sacramento from L.A. to get this work done, and it was still cost-effective. But he had Crohn's disease. So what it meant was I would fly to Sacramento and then spend 8 hours in a dentist chair listening to this. Because my head was right at his stomach. And it was just that mixed with a drill. For okay, we're going to... All right. But we became friends because there was one day I was in the dentist chair for like 14 hours. Like, it was really hell on earth. And at one point we became, you know, pretty good friends. And I became sort of immune to Novocaine because I had so much of it because my teeth were so awful. Like, every time we drill a tooth, he was like, oh, you need a root canal on this. Oh, you need a root canal on this. And it was just like, all right, so I'll do the root canal on these three, and then we'll prep the crowns, and then you can fly home. And at one point, we had become so close, he just said kind of casually, you know, I'm doing your back teeth. Your front teeth are kind of shitty. You want to get crowns? Like, sure. So these are all crowns, too. But they look like real teeth. The great thing about him was... they don't look fake. They're stained and they're uneven and they look like regular teeth. But every 15 or 20 years, you need them replaced.
Oh, you do?
That's just a natural thing of crowns. So
does he make them progressively worse so they look older?
You know, no, they get that.
These will fit now, man. This is the age group you need.
When you drink the coffee I drink, they do it on your own anyway. But so every 15 to 20 years, I go and I get them redone. It takes 4 days or whatever. But if there's an apocalypse and there's no dentists... then they all just eventually just, I think, come out. Because underneath my teeth, I just have, like, green Tic Tacs.
So are they, like, filed a little point?
Yeah, they're filed a little point. So without these, I'm not really fit for human viewing.
So, but zombies would think you're hot as fuck.
Oh, yeah, in a zombie apocalypse,
you're a catch.
I become Gollum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a pale, weird guy with bad teeth that lives in the woods.
The zombies will be scared of you.
Yeah, head. That's my theory.
I would just put jelly in my mouth and just smile at everybody all the time. I went past Big, don't fuck with him. Just leave him alone.
Zombies are one of those things that people forget are fake. You know it's not real. And when you die, is there like, do you get to choose between zombies? What happened to ghosts?
That's a good
one.
I'd be a ghost.
You know, ghosts now are like the clan. It's like, we're just not getting new members. We need a public relations full frontal assault because everyone's going to the zombies. Did you see the Scientology documentary? Because that's sort of like what
going
zombies
clear,
are, really.
Yes, yes.
This is the only thing I took away from that. They have the most furious laugh. Like Tom Cruise and David Miscavige, when they laugh, it's like, do I know any suppressive people? It's a horrifying. It's a terrible. And I've met Tom Cruise, and it is the most. It's the most handshake you've ever had. It's just, hi, thanks for doing this. It's terrifying to be in his presence.
Well, I think we have to get you out of here.
Yeah, somebody, I have to go do my own podcast, and you have a funnier guest.
Do you have time to tell something shitty happened to someone recently before you leave, or do you have to get out of here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, sure. No, I can. It was something really shitty happened to someone I really can't stand.
What's their name?
I'm not going to tell you. They're in show business.
No, Joe Perry's mom.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. But I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would, which is not to say I didn't enjoy it a lot. But I didn't get to the Snoopy dancing euphoria that I thought I would experience when this occurred. But what you get is that there's no it's just a random thing. I don't really think that there's karma. People always say there's karma because if you do something shitty, eventually something shitty will happen to you. But if you don't do anything shitty, something shitty will also happen to you. I don't think there's really karma. I just think that eventually something really shitty is going to happen to you. I think the shit sandwich is served 24/7, 365.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And my theory in life, and I'll leave you with this, is the only thing to watch on the internet, I know what you're going to say, bukkake videos. No. I get it. There are things that, when put together, are great. I cited Reese peanut butter cups, which I grew up eating. Chocolate and peanut butter, who would have thought that together they would have been so amazing? But with a bukkake video...
I can't wait. I just want to know what's next. I don't know.
It's the timeless combination of the male orgasm and a pie fight from a 1930s slapstick comedy. It's just not as good. And all I can think of is the poor person in the center of it is thinking, I finally got a job in show business. I got the part. But there is footage of a python eating a crocodile. And what happens is the python eats the crocodile, and it ingests the crocodile, killing the crocodile. But it's too big to properly digest, so eventually it bursts out of the side of the python, killing the python. That's nature at work, unfettered by man, random chaos, and senseless murder. And everybody in the swamp just went on with their day. The crocodiles didn't boycott the pythons. The pythons didn't have a big protest. No more crocodiles. People just went. The crocodiles went back to looking for Captain Hook. The pythons went back to mice. And people just shut their fucking traps and went on with their day. And that's pretty much what life boils down to, I think.
I love it. Dana Gould, everyone. Thank you so
Dana
much.
Dana Gould.
For being here. I'll see you around. Good luck. Wait. Tell them where they can come see you later.
Later this afternoon, I will be doing my podcast because I am proudly a part of the 98% of humankind that is doing a podcast today. Next door at the Kill Rockstar stage at the Doug Fir Lounge when this wraps up, if you've got nothing to do. And then tonight, I think at 8 o'clock, Arden Marine and I will be doing our show, The Tinkle Twins, at Norris Hall, which looks, the basement of Norris Hall looks a lot like the Nipmuc Rod and Gun Club. So please come and see me as I fight off sense memories.
All right. Thank Dana you
Gould,
so much.
Everybody. Dana Gould, everyone. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate that. It was fantastic.
Thanks so much, man. Oh, great.
You know, it's like one of the coolest things of that is that he's immortalized his family in an episode of The Simpsons.
I love it.
Isn't that insanity? That's insanity. Yeah. Now, look at this. I wrote this about my dad. Check it out. See Homer, what he's doing? That's just kind of out of control.
It's sick. I love it.
I love that you have a thought on that.
Back there. You ready?
How fun was that? I love it.
Dana Gould.
Dana Gould. We're excited about our next guest as well. Portland guy. We wanted him for a long time. We're stoked that he's here. Please welcome Ian Carmel, everybody.
Ian Carmel. Carmel, welcome to the Crab Feast.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you, buddy. Hey. How are you, buddy?
Doing real well. Real well. Good to be here. Hello, everyone. Oh, I feel like we just lost the playoff game. It's kind of fun. Like...
You know, we play tough, you know.
I have a black child, like a young black
just
child.
Just sitting on your lap, yeah. Looking around. Ian, what happened there in the third quarter?
We just sort of lost our shot, and then the whole thing fell apart. Couldn't get transition defense was garbage. Our fast break game was garbage. It was a bunch of wet garbage. We turned into a bunch of monsters made out of wet garbage stuck together.
Monsters? Why monsters?
Monstars. Space Jam. Because of Space Jam? Space Jam. I don't know. I ate a pot cookie on the way to bed last night.
On the way to bed?
On the way to bed.
Where was bed? I'm going to get there.
It was so stupid. Like, I took a couple punches on the way to the mat. Like, I was already fucked up. I was already fucked up. I was stoned already, and I had continued drinking throughout the duration of the last 24 hours, just continually drinking. And then in the elevator on the way up to the hotel room, just like, yeah, one of these.
Takes a while to kick in anyway.
It
no?
did. I didn't feel it until like the middle of the night when I woke up from a dream that I swear was real. Like, it was one of the, it was just like a laser beam of shitty dream energy firing directly at me so hard that it woke me up. So that happened.
It's not even a hangover. It's still happening.
It's still happening.
Yeah, yeah. Still happening. I did a pot cookie one time on the way to like my friend's band show. And like, hey, you want to open up? And I was like, yeah. And then it totally wrecked my world. I was wearing a trench coat. I don't know what I was. That was a good idea. It rained.
There may have been other issues if you were already wearing a trench coat.
There were some issues happening back then. There were some issues.
There's a man in Portland named Mark the Mustard Man Keichel. That is his name. Real comedy fans of Portland know him.
Who else knows? Mustard Man!
Get out of here!
Bring some Dijonais and some French.
It's not far-flung that he might be here. He's called the Mustard Man because he can eat mustard hella fast. Like, hella fast.
How do we even know that's fast?
That's a great point.
Has anyone ever gone up against him?
There's no 40 times to measure it.
That's good, Mark. Right there, man. That's good, man. You're like the mustard king, man.
Old Mustard Man, old Musty, he had like a 420 show every year. And he was one of those people who was, like, made out of weed. Like, at some point, the weed had overtaken any carbon in his body. And he was just made just like a wizard enchanted a pile of weed and, like, grew up into a person.
Enchanted?
I don't know. There's just a pile of weed, and the wizard was like, now you are alive. And then he grew up out of it. Anyway, so he's gave weed brownies at the show, and I was working at the Helium Comedy Club emceeing at the time. I don't even remember who the headliner was, but in between the two shows, like, I did my set and then ate this pot brownie, and then I blacked out.
No.
I got so stoned I blacked out, and I did a set blacked out, and I had no idea how it went.
Does anyone have the footage?
No, there's no footage. And to this day, there's
the cameras couldn't record it?
No, it may not have happened. I may have been in a bathroom the whole time. Just like, everybody give it up for Bruce.
All by yourself. Well, you were telling us off mic about, let's talk a little bit about this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Another time I messed.
Wait, you grew up here.
I grew up in Beaverton, Oregon.
There you go.
9 miles to the west. 9 miles to the west of here. Beautiful Beaverton, Oregon. All right. I played football in high school.
What position?
I was a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Okay. I was gigantic. I was not good at sports, but like it felt like I was good because I was just so much bigger than everybody. I was this big back then.
Yeah.
Like. In, like, middle school and high school. And everybody else was, like, a 170-pound son of a Mormon real estate agent. Like, that that was, like, everybody else. So I was really good at football, kind of, you know. But I was never a good athlete. And one time in practice, I would never let my kids play football now.
Yeah.
How many kids
do you have?
I have three beautiful children. There's the guy from the press conference, baby. Press conference, baby, and then Dana Gould is my fully grown son. I was at football practice, and we had this drill. I don't even remember what it was called, but you would line up. Like, I was the defensive tackle. I would line up, and then, like, an offensive lineman would be across from me, and then there'd be a running back, and your job was to dispose of the offensive lineman and then embrace with anger the running back and throw him to the ground.
So shed the lineman.
Yeah, shed the lineman.
Eat the running back alive.
Exactly, exactly. So I did this. I got the lineman out of the way pretty easily. Again, 170-pound, like, offensive guard. But then the running back, this was when I was a junior. He was a senior. It was this guy named Hai Win, and he was, like, probably, like, 5'2", this Korean dude. He was but 5'2", both
ways.
Hai
Win. Low Hai Win. 5'2", it's a low win.
He was low.
It was a low, low win.
It's a real low win, man.
Low win.
Real low win. Look, he had quotes around Hai. It was, He was just yoked, but tiny. One of those, like, tiny yoke dudes.
Like a spark plug. Like I mean, a fire plug.
Like a fire, a fucking
a plug. Fire hydrant.
A plug of any, like a fire hydrant is really what he was, guys. And
it took me a second to get there.
He hit me, like, under the chin. You know, I went to tackle him, and he hit me under the chin. And, like, I fell down. He hit me so hard, I fell down kind of slow. Like, it took my body a second.
Like a cartoon.
Yeah, like, to realize what had happened. You know, like, I held up a sign that was like, yikes. And then I...
was everyone like, oh!
Yeah, people were shook. People were shook.
Yeah.
It was like the taping of BET's Comic View. Everyone was just running around like, oh, no! And I blacked out and then woke up like 2 seconds later. And people were like stoked, you know, because I had tackled him. He had sort of tackled me.
Did you know you had tackled him?
I had no idea.
You just knew you had a colleague.
He was like, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce.
Bruce. I brought Bruce out, and he just slid.
Bruce would have been a hell of a space eater in there with you.
Bruce,
side by side, be a Super Bowl fucking tandem.
Oh, my God. Me and Bruce on the defensive line?
You wouldn't run anywhere. You better get the outside, because you're not going up the middle.
No. And then, I mean, coming around the middle, Hamburger. Hamburger's coming around the side. Me, Bruce, Hamburger, and Brett Butler on the other D.
Brett Butler.
That's the starting four on the all-comedy football team. Fucking, this guy hit me so hard. But, like, at the time, like, everyone was wiling out about it, starting Nick Cannon. And, like, so I was stoked. I was like, all right, great. And practice was over after that. And, like, I was like, I got hit pretty hard. And I definitely blacked out, but maybe I should just go home. I think I should probably just go home. So I went to the locker room, you know, put my clothes on, and then went and sat on the curb waiting for my mom to come pick me up from school that day. And I was sitting there for about, like, 45 minutes, like, man, mom's late. She's really blowing it. Then my buddy came up to me. He's like, Ian, you rode your bike to school today. And I was like, oh, I did. I did ride my bike to school. Just such a lovely day. I thought I'd sit here on this curb. Then I went and got on my bike. I'd grown up, like, I'd lived in the same house since I was 2 years old. This was in high school. So I went and got my bike and started pedaling in the general direction of where I lived. And, like, halfway there, I was like, where the fuck is my house?
God damn, you were all concussed.
I was super concussed. I had no idea where I had to sit there at this park and be like, feels like this way. Kind of feels like this way. So then me, like, 340 pounds in high school on a bicycle, just wobbling home. Just kind of like wobbling. Real vague understanding.
Hai Win's family passed on the road. Like, there he is. Look at him. I hit him today, right there.
There was, like, it was just, like, the odds that I would have ended up at Target, like, asleep in the DVD section were just as good as me actually getting home. But... I did get home. I did, and then went immediately to the doctors.
And it was a concussion.
It was a big-time concussion. So.
Hai Win got you.
Yeah.
Did they talk shit to you after that?
No, very gracious man. Hai Win was a wonderful guy.
Very gracious. Man.
He was a man. He was a man back then. Wait, fuck. Once somebody gives you a concussion, they become a man. It's like football bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's a...
You don't seem like a fighter.
I'm not a fighter.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a fight?
No, I've never been in a fight. I've always been kind of charming, and I can sort of charm my way out of the...
Really? I'm not seeing that.
I mean, absolutely. Jay. That's always how I got out of stuff.
Just by being sweet?
Just by being kind of sweet and charming. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a sour side, too. And sometimes... sometimes I'll whip that on people.
But are you a smart aleck?
I can be. I'm becoming more of a smart aleck as I get older. I don't know. And I don't know why that is. It seems like I'm less prepared to fight than ever. And now is when I get... Now's when I get a smart mouth. I don't understand why. I'll tell you this story, which we talked about a little bit, but this was the time when I was a smart aleck. I was at a Trader Joe's in Glendale, California. Glendale, California, at a Trader Joe's there, which is, Glendale's like the Beaverton of Los Angeles.
Glendale, California, if you don't know, is the largest gathering of Armenians outside of Armenia in the world.
In the world, fam.
He's in there, Trader Joe's.
Me and a bunch of Armenians. And I was in the Trader Joe's just doing my shopping. And I saw a man wearing a sleeveless shirt. Not a tank top, a sleeveless shirt. He had hacked the sleeves off himself.
Homemade.
Homemade Best sleeveless kind. Shirt. He's got Best the sleeves kind. At home, and he can do whatever he wants with it.
Use them as like a little
They're good for
rag,
dusting,
man.
To be
just
honest
dab it
you.
Here. You're going to dust them.
Keep right there on your wrist and just
wiping
dab.
Off grease.
Just dab.
Even if you want sleeves, wear the T-shirt normal for a while, and then instead of throwing the cut the sleeves off, right?
It's a new shirt.
Yeah, guys, you're wasting your money. I see a guy with a gigantic swastika tattoo on his shoulder, just big, like thick. He had a big dude in his 60s shoulder, just like years of being like kind of buff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're that like old buff.
Old man strong,
He was like old strong. Mm-hmm. And he had a big swastika tattoo, but we were at Trader Joe's, so I looked at it, and I was like, it has to be the Buddhist one. It has to be.
Yeah.
Because it's Trader Joe's. I'm like, it can't be a Nazi swastika. You can't walk into Trader Joe's with a Nazi swastika and be like, where's the cookie butter? You can't be that. Like...
it's over there in the kosher section.
Yeah. Thank you. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And then I was studying him more. I'm like, no, that's definitely a Nazi swastika. Like, it definitely is.
And he had
and are you like
there.
You're like staring at it?
I'm staring at the swastika. Yeah, just really fixated on it. I'm feeling like I'm getting like that not welcome feeling. Like, I'm a Jew. But that's
all the time we have. Thanks so much.
I'm a Jew.
So wait. But I mean, even if you weren't Jewish, that's something that swastika is such a powerful image. You're gonna tune into it.
Absolutely. It's just jarring to see it.
Yeah.
Out. That's not on the History Channel. Like it. That's probably like 90. That and book covers are 90% of the swastikas you ever see. So.
True.
Anytime you see it anywhere else, it's like very.
I got
jarring.
This one when I was like.
Oh, but that's cute. That's like cute. There's the one in the middle, and then there's a smaller swastika in each of the little quadrants. That's more about design than hate.
That's art.
But I saw this guy, and I'm not a like you said, I'm not a fighter, but I did want to make his day worse, so I just sort of used my side. I just walked in front of him everywhere he went. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's my kind of style.
Yeah, right and I was like and taking my fucking time. Like, I knew he wanted to look at the cauliflower, but I was really getting into the cauliflower. I was like checking the ingredients on cauliflower. It's like ingredients, cauliflower. I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah, a lot of sodium in this. And so I did that all around the Trader Joe's, just everywhere he went. I kind of shadowed him, but in front of him. Anyway. He went to check out, and I checked out, too, and I took way less time because I had stopped shopping. It was a game at that point. And when he was leaving the Trader Joe's, I stood in front of him, at the door again. Not facing him, but, again, kind of throwing that, just putting a screen on him. Just, pretending I was, beautiful sky today. Gorgeous sky. Yeah. And then he, at that point, he was very aggravated with me, so he kind of, brushed past me,
with the swastika?
Brushed me with the swastika.
Oh, hell
Touched
no.
me.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, no! I had a very Jewish reaction to it. First of all, I don't like that your arm's out. But, and then, he was like, watch where you're going. I was like, you watch where you're going. So we started, exchanging words a little bit. And after, like, I just dropped off. I was like, is that a swastika on your arm? I just got right to it. I had, like.
Just got right to it.
I got
after
right
45 minutes.
After 45 minutes. But when we finally, when the dance had finally begun, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, what are we going to dance around the issue that you have a fucking swastika? It's not going to be like, I don't like your tone. No, I don't like your swastika. That's why I immediately brought it up. I was like, is that a swastika on your arm? And he was like, yeah, why? Like, why?
Why?
Oh my God.
Just making sure. No, like, it's like, just the speaking its name is all you need. You know what I mean? It's a swastika. And I was like, it's the symbol of the Nazis. They killed millions of people. And he was like, well, not all Germans were bad. I was like, whoa.
That's a weird angle.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but you have the ones
you
that were.
You have what the one, you, right, exactly.
What are you talking about? was he almost like, not like sweet, but like, oh, but listen, you want to talk about it? Or was he so confrontational?
He was getting confrontational, but he did seem sincerely dumbfounded by the fact that I was like mad at him for having a swastika on his shoulder. You know what I mean? Like
what's
was,
the, my whole family has right. it. I don't understand. What's the big deal? Everyone I know has them.
Yeah. What is... Is there more to this? Like, Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So we kept arguing, but, like, we were in the parking lot kind of walking towards our respective cars at this point.
Like, yelling over to
just
each other.
Just yelling at each other. And, like, there's this tiny little Trader Joe's security guard just like, oh, no. Because it was me and this big Nazi just sort of... And my... But you, I can say three words, and you're like, that's a Jew. That guy, he sounds like a Jew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sound like, and so there's this gigantic Jew and this big old Nazi just chirping at each other in the Trader Joe's parking lot, you know. And I think the security guard is hoping we get to our respective cars. It's over. We were parked next to each other. I swear to God.
That's awesome.
I swear to God.
Did he have any bumper stickers?
He didn't have any. But he drove a fucking Subaru Outback, though.
What?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
A Nazi... Bought a fucking Subaru Outback. It's like a lesbian mother car. That's what it is. And that's what the Nazi went with, which was very weird to me. I almost didn't want to keep fighting with them at that point where I was like, you're a complex person, aren't you?
That's deep.
Yeah, right?
That's deep.
We kept going back and forth quite a bit. And then we got into our cars and then rolled our windows down and kept yelling at each other.
What are you yelling, though?
Just like bullet where I was like, it's fucked up that you have that tattoo. It's really fucked up. He was like, he got to the point where he was like, yeah, well, I wish they would have killed a few more Jews, like your grandparents. I was like, whoa. Oh, really? And my grandparents escaped the Holocaust. Like,
really?
Yeah, yeah. You should have them on here. They've got some story. It was like, last Tuesday.
I knew a woman
they came
who,
to take my family, right?
I knew a woman who escaped the Holocaust, too, and they say, if your grandmother's like, they're like, I watched my whole family die.
Yeah.
And they're just like plain and simple, like, let me get the, she would do stuffed cabbage at the restaurant I worked at. She'd be like, let me get the stuffed cabbage after telling me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, that's weird. And then I would get up behind her and give her a massage, and she'd be like, get the way you're giving me hot flashes. So he wanted your grandparents dead.
Yeah, how did that end?
It ended on...
He blocked him on the way out, man.
I did actually. I did sort of like, I pulled out first and put my car behind him and kept yelling at him. And I was like, where's this really going? And the best case scenario is he's like, I'm sorry about the Holocaust and I'm going to get this changed, right? That's never going to.
Look, I just came to get some $2 chuck, man. I don't need all this shit.
Well, if I got in a fight with a guy, then I wouldn't be able to go to that Trader Joe's, you know?
Who could you even, what tattoo artist are you going to cover that up? Like, because the guy who gave it to you is going to be like,
right,
pissed that you're covering it up.
It's one of my best swastikas.
Well, was it a pretty good one?
It was a pretty good one.
Yeah,
it was. It was evocative. I felt, you know, and I heard bootsteps. When I look at it.
Yeah, I do like confrontation, but I will pick my battles. Like, if I see a dude like that, I'm just like, nope, not that guy.
Yeah.
Unless he does something, then I will absolutely.
Wait,
then
you have
I can't
to step
wait.
To the plate.
Like, but I can't wait.
I will
for
always
that.
Dip my toe in the water a little bit. You know what I mean? Well, just go at it a little bit and just see the temp. You know what I mean? See what temp the guy's at. And then if you can tell, like, you got an angle on them, then you keep going and going and going and see how far you can go before it turns into something physical, you know.
Right. No, it is. It is kind of fun. You get in there, bat them around a little bit. Just bat them around a little bit.
I had to do the other day. I yelled at some dude driving, and he started following me, and I'm, like, taking back roads, and I'm like, all right, how far do I want to go with this? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I shook him. I got, like, my car's got a little on it.
You got that
and
boost.
I slowed down at, like, an intersection, and I just busted the stop sign, went down an alley, took a left, and I shook him.
I fucking love that. That's
felt
better
good.
Than
it's tight. Better than... I was so angry, too, at the end of it. I'm like, why am I so upset? I was pissed.
I turn into such a different person behind the wheel of a car. I get furious back there.
Yeah.
I never believe in justice more than when I'm driving in my car.
Oh, I'm with you.
Fucking, I want it to be a just world. You know what I mean? When you're merging, it's one car goes, another car.
That's
another,
the way it is.
That's the fucking way
Especially
it is.
This construction. It's like, what do you think is going on
It's
here?
Ridiculous. We all know exactly what the rules of the road are. There's some of these vagrants out here. Not obeying the rules of society.
But let me ask you this. If you're in the lane that's moving, and here's, like, the merge lane, and you sitting, getting down to, like, where the last merges, and you see some guy fly up, do you let him in?
Fuck no.
No way. No way. Like it.
That's the guy going on the shoulder, giving you the finger, going up farther. Yeah.
I will put everyone's life in danger to not let that person in.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Justice,
I will go 40 miles an hour, 6 inches away from the car in front of me, while a fucking... Audi to my left is like heading right for one of those
not a German
blocks.
Car.
No.
Not a German car.
Not letting you in.
Nope.
Come back in a Ford. We'll talk. Or a Jewish car. Even better. We don't make
out. This happened to me recently, and I've said it before, but I was in a parking space facing this way, and a guy pulled behind me in front of a dumpster where it says no parking, but he blocked me in, and I couldn't get out. I've got the baby in the back. She's screaming. Donna's looking back like, what's this guy's problem? And I'm just asking. I'm like, can you just pull forward for a second so I can get out? And he's just going, nope. And he's got like his 10-year-old kid in the back seat. And I'm starting to lose my shit. And I'm like, fuck this. And I know he doesn't do it, but I threw the door open. I walk right up to the car. I go, hey, man, I just need you to move for a second so I can back out. He's like, I'm in a parking space. I'm like, you're not. It says no parking right here. You're in front of a fucking dumpster. And I got a fucking baby in the car screaming. So why don't you teach your 10-year-old in the back what a real man would do and pull the fuck out of this spot and let a new dad get out of here and then pull back. You can have this one. And he just went,
right
out. I was like, he's moving.
He is 0-60. Sickle will be calm as hell and then explode.
That's
if I open that door up, it's on. I'm coming.
He walked the same pace he normally walks to get there, though. The guy was like, why is this guy taking so long to get over to confront me?
I'm like Jason Voorhees. I just keep on coming.
Slow.
He's a furious stroll.
I just walk. I glide right up to him.
I love that you took a moment of uncomfortableness, and the world is better now because of it.
Well,
now
I gave
maybe
him
this
time.
Guy learned the lesson.
I gave him ample time to be reasonable, and then he didn't want to be reasonable. So then I thought, well, I wonder how he'll react to this, and I was right.
It's also people in this world nowadays, they don't think anyone is going to police them outside of, like, the government. And it's like, guess what, dude? We're all human beings, and I will confront you.
Absolutely.
And deal with it. We're human. We should interact, and we have to police each other. I mean,
it's the real world out here. I wish the police would police those people. That if you merge in, like, at the very last minute, you should go to prison for 40 years.
No lie. 40 years. Some of the most ignorant driving I'll see, and I'll start getting pissed, and my wife will be like, Jay, just relax. I'm like, that guy should be dragged out of his car and fucking beaten.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, you need to chill out. And I'm like, it's a fact.
It needs to. What, just once every now and then. You should get one ass-whooping card, like, a year.
Done.
Where, like, some fucking guy, you know, merging late, and you just, I mean, you
you knock on the window, and you're like, look at this player, get
there
out.
There it is.
Fuck him. Merged on the wrong guy, man.
It's December. It's December 17th. You almost weren't going to use it that year. But it's December 17th. It's fucking raining out, and this guy cuts you off, and you got to get in the
car.
I'll
do you one better. Seven days later.
Oh, my God.
24th. Christmas Eve, bro. Get the fuck out of your car, man.
I had a
Jesus came early.
I had a roommate that had major road rage issues years ago. And
the one who threw the Bluetooth at my computer?
No, different one. And I used to be different one.
I used to be scared to drive with him. So when he would want to go somewhere with me, I would just follow him there or meet him there because I was terrified to drive with him. And one time I'm following him, and I see what's going on. I see the police are escorting someone to wherever the fuck they're going. I can't figure that out. But lights are on, and the guy is following closely behind them. And then there's one cop behind him, so they've got him sandwiched in between their cruisers. And I guess the one in front got a little far away. Well, my roommate didn't realize what was going on. And the guy that was in the police escort panicked, I guess, that he got far enough away. So he cuts my roommate off to get back, and that was it for him. I watched the whole fucking thing go down. He sped up alongside a police escort. And front cop car, dude, back cop car. He pulls up alongside the guy on his on his driver's side. And I mean, like a professional fucking stunt driver, he squeezes in between the rear bumper of the cop car and the front bumper of that guy. And all of them slam on their brakes. Like, the cops are slamming, he slams. And they get out of the car in the middle of the street. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, that guy cut me off. I'm cutting him off. And I pulled over and watched the whole thing, and I'm like, oh, my God. And the cops are like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I just told you what I'm doing. You let him cut me off. I'm cutting him off. I didn't hit anybody. And they just looked at him, and they were like, dude, you're so fucking – we're escorting this guy right now. Like, you see the lights? And they're like, he's like, I see him. But he better follow you better then. And they got in their car and left. And I couldn't fucking believe it. I couldn't fucking believe it.
He owned it. Gotta own it.
They should have got cops should have handed him the badge because your friend is the one with a real heart full of justice.
People used to cut him off on the. I'll never forget this. I was in the car for this when we were on the 10 freeway. Somebody cut him off. You know what he did? He sped up behind him 70 miles an hour and started tapping him. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I'm screaming, waiting for this Honda Prelude to spin out of fucking control. It's not a tank, and he's tapping the guy, and the guy's like panicking. He's like, you. He's pointing at him, you. He also used to pull into the drive-thru, and if they said, hey, you know, would you mind pulling over there while we make your order? He would look right at him and go, nope, today you're going to step that shit up and make that. I'm not pulling over anywhere. I'm like, why? They're back there rubbing their dicks all on our fucking shit right now. Like, what are you doing? I would never eat any of that. I would never eat any of that food. Never.
Did he have any good qualities?
Did he have any good qualities? No.
Did he have any bad qualities? I want to know if he had any bad qualities.
Yeah,
that guy sounds like a hero.
He's a hero on the road. He's the same guy, if you've heard the story, who pulled the gun on the UPS driver. Yeah, shout out to UPS, Baltimore Hub Primary 1, Joe Avenue. Got to give love to Baltimore right now. It's burning.
Speaking of transportation.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
What a segue.
I do it that...
That's transportation these days, by the way.
A lot of segways. Transportation.
It's a lot of transportation these days. People going from one place to another. It's happening. You see it.
Don't try and deny it, guys.
It's all out there. Maybe some of you took transportation here to the show today. When I'm from here in Portland, and there's a bus that goes up and down Birdside. I think it's the 12. There's the 12. There's the 20.
20 from Ted Williams over here.
This is the 20.
I see it. Nine. What's up, nine?
This is the 20. I was taking the 20, and I got on there, and I was just sitting down having a pleasant afternoon. And while I'm waiting at the bus stop, I can see.
What, did you always take the bus? Did you have a car at the time? Or
at the time, I did not have a car. What had happened was I had a car, and I forgot.
Inside shit up there, I think.
I forgot to insure it for several months.
Forgot. Over and over and over.
Just every day, forgot again to insure my car. And I let my girlfriend at the time drive it, and she got in an accident in that car, which was a very expensive thing to untangle. So I didn't have a car, taking the bus a lot at this juncture in my life. I'm waiting at the bus stop across the street. There's I think he was probably homeless, but he was definitely ripped. He was like ripped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was one of the really buff homeless dudes.
That's how I'd be if I was homeless.
Yeah.
I would jog and shit if I was homeless.
Constantly jogging.
Yeah. Well, you'd have no energy.
I already have it mapped out. I'd go to Northern California. I'd eat their pistachios and grapes, and I'd jog.
What do you mean?
Look at that homeless motherfucker right there. He's glistening.
Yeah.
Look at him.
You got a real Mediterranean diet.
I would have a 4-5-40 on grass. I know it. I'd be solid.
On grass.
Laser timed. Practice squad. Probably like, yeah, like that 49ers
practice player,
squad.
No doubt. But still,
you're working out with High Wind, man.
You're with High Wind in the gym every day. So there was one of these dudes, like tan somehow, and like so crazy. He was fucking throwing a traffic cone out into the middle of Burnside. This was downtown. And then running out and grabbing it, and then running back. Like, just like playing fetch with a ghost and then throwing this cone out there, and then running back. And I'm like, well, that guy's crazy. Glad I'm getting on this bus. And the bus stops, and then he comes sprinting across the street, probably 4.3 40 speed.
Yeah, that's
honestly
what I'm talking about right there.
And like, and he like... He gets on the bus. I got on the bus before him, and then he got on the bus. And I don't know where he produced money from, because it was just like he didn't have a shirt on, and he was just wearing. It didn't look like he had sufficient bus fare. But he produced something that was. I don't know. The driver was like, "Well, of course, get on this bus."
You've been throwing a cone and fetching it. I'm not going to say anything.
Right? Yeah. Please just don't kill me by screaming, just directly into my face until my skin peels off. He seemed that energetic. So he gets on the bus, and, like, he starts going crazy and, like, losing his shit on people, you know. And I started looking around the bus thinking, like, oh, man, somebody's going to have to deal with him. This is going to be great. Who's it going to be? Somebody, like, I was looking around the bus for, like, a tough guy, you know what I mean, to get up and
you're
be like.
You're looking for the hero, man.
Right. I was looking for the hero.
You're looking for Rise, buddy.
I was looking for you.
I would have been up.
You weren't on that bus.
I'm going to be the hero.
And then I started looking around. It was one of those things where it was like a lot of like kind of like old ladies, and then there were some kids on the bus, and then like I was like, fuck, it's me. I'm the one today. My fucking number came up. So but I'm not like I stood up and I was just hoping that I was gigantic enough that he wouldn't want to test it. Mm-hmm. It was a total paper tiger situation. But I got up and like and you know, I was like, you stop it. This stops now, or whatever.
So you did speak up.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. All right.
I did.
I've used a similar time. Go, keep going.
Yeah.
This stops now.
I've said the same thing in a brawl. Like a dad. I was pulling guys going, this has got to stop now.
Yeah.
No one did.
Just like
no
if you, you hope that you speak with enough confidence that people are like, oh, shit, okay.
Shit. Yeah,
oh, fuck, yeah.
Real. This guy was probably like, you. You're who I want to sit
like,
next
you
to.
You stop now. That's yeah. what he. But like, so like, I stood up and kind of got close to him, and he just didn't like that I was close to him, and like he would back up a little bit. So I was like, I see what's going on here. I'm gonna have to shepherd this guy off the bus.
Yeah,
shepherd.
That's the only threat because I don't want to fight this guy. I don't want to touch this guy. But I just used his need for personal space to sort of like.
Just like the Nazi, man.
Yeah, just like the Nazi.
You got a good angle.
I was cutting off angles. I was sort of like pushing him closer and closer and closer to the door of the bus.
He's like, come on, man. I can't go past this white line while we're moving.
Right.
Come on.
All that had gone out the door. They stopped the bus, and the bus driver, it was almost like a now kind of thing. Like, and they popped open the door. And I kind of lunged at him, and he hopped off the bus. He swung at me first. He took a swing at me first. He, like, way off, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, he had been too tired for too long. Like,
too many cone throws.
Shoulder was all fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Probably getting Tommy John's after it. But, like, he takes a swing, and it missed so bad. And then, like, I lunged at him, and he, like, hopped off the bus. And then the driver closed the door, and everybody started clapping on the bus.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to clap for
they
you.
Did. It was amazing, and I was feeling myself quite a bit afterwards, like, fucking hero. I am. I'm a fucking hero. But then I really analyzed the situation, and all that happened is I was fat near him. That's all that happened. If you really want to break it down, I was fat at him. I was fat at him. And then he got off the bus. But fuck it, man. It got off the bus either way.
Yeah, man. You did what you need. Yeah. I think you're going to say, like, when you got, like, you tripped off the bus. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
you
right.
felt so like good, it, and then you tripped. And
absolutely
they were like,
not.
Oh, that was our hero.
I was
hero.
Carried off that bus, Jay.
By the old lady. High Wind's mom was like, I got him.
Threw me up on her back and then deadlifted me out of the bus.
I love it, man. I never got in that. I took the bus for a while. I got in one... like argument with a guy about the Bible, like yeah. he was like crazy religious and he was thrown at everybody. I'm like, hey man, why don't you just dial it back with like, you know, everyone's doing their own thing. And like I was just new to the bus and I was just like, oh, check it out, man. Here's the bus. This is what people do.
Yeah.
And this guy clearly was a veteran and just kept going. I'm like, oh shit. Everyone on the bus was like, dude, just let that guy go.
He rides the bus all day looking for newbies to engage
totally.
With.
Totally. Totally. Let me see this. Well, you lived up here, and you had, like, one of the coolest jobs of all time.
I did. I got to do post-game shows for the Blazers.
I mean, are you guys Blazers fans?
Portland Trail Blazers?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to love the Blazers back in the day when, like, Clyde the Glide was up here. Who was the Orlando Blackman? Wasn't he on the team?
No. But he was on the
Who was double zero?
Kevin Duckworth.
Duckworth.
Rest in peace. Duckworth. Rest in peace.
He died? Kevin
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well,
did he?
Yeah.
Kevin Duckworth, get your ass out of here. Man. He just
wheel
levitates.
Him down. Wheel him down.
When you were doing it, who was on the team then? Like, who was the guy?
When I was doing it, it was a lot like this team right now. I just stopped doing it like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. But so it was like Aldridge for a little bit, Brandon Roy, Damian Lillard, Batum.
Who's that dude that you guys didn't like draft and you signed him as a free agent and then he signed a huge contract? What's that dude's name?
Odin.
Is he here? What happened? What happened? Did you guys get rid of him?
There's a few people we've drafted that were mistakes.
No, you didn't draft this guy. You signed him as a free agent.
We signed this guy
as a rookie, and then he like had a Wesley. Yeah, and he had a huge year.
Wesley?
And then you signed him to contract.
Yeah. The Utah Jazz
what
drafted
do you have my
him.
Face on about that?
And then he blew out.
That's
his
all
Achilles.
Time we have for. He's,
he's gonna be back. He'll be back. He blew out his Achilles. Very sad. None of us liked it. I worked for it was very cool because, like, I mean, Portland, there's no really famous people here at all. I mean, there are, but they're all in, like, indie rock bands. Like, everyone, and they don't want to go to Blazer games.
The Decemberists and stuff?
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Actually, Colin Molloy is a big Blazer fan from the Decemberist guy, which seems weird. Like, he's sitting there watching the game, like, go, Damian Lillard! And, like, he's a whimsical man. It's a whimsical band. It's weird. Like, is it like a steampunk television? Like, how does he watch it? It's very weird to me. but, like, now I get to go to games here in Portland. Like, they'll give me tickets, which is the best. It's the best. You should become a mediocre stand-up comedian, and eventually the Blazers will give you tickets. And when they come to L.A., they'll let me come to the games, too. And they gave me, like, an all-access locker room pass. I don't know why, earlier this season, last season before the All-Star break, and I was on cloud nine. I was like, this is fucking awesome. I'm going to go to the locker room,
yeah. You
know, like talk to these dudes. And I went back there, and I went to the locker room, and then I remembered what locker rooms are, which is just a bunch of naked dudes.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just a bunch of 7 foot tall naked dudes.
Sneak a peek?
It's not good for you to see. You don't want to know what LaMarcus Aldridge's penis looks like. You think you do. You don't. You don't want to know. Fellas who were into guys, you're watching the game, you're like, I'd love to see LaMarcus Aldridge's penis. I can kind of see it underneath those shorts there anyway, right?
Yeah.
You really pay attention when he's backing somebody down in the post, spins over his left shoulder, hits that high jump shot, he's fully extended. You can see a little bit of, you know, down there. Then you see it in real life and it's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. It was fun. It was weird. I was dressed like a fan, too. I had on, like, my Jerome Kersey Blazers jersey and, like, red shoe. Rest in peace, Jerome Kersey, too. What a tragic, the fucking worst. He was the best, but he died.
Yeah.
I didn't see his penis, but I was dressed like a fan. I was dressed like a fan standing in their locker room, and they just were going about their business being naked, and it was just like, I was like, I should go. I should go immediately. But I didn't go immediately. I stood there for like 5 minutes, just awkwardly.
Just taking it in?
Yeah.
It was like trying to see that swastika tattoo all over again. Yeah. Like, look, let me follow you around a little bit.
Transfixed by it.
Were you by yourself?
I was.
What do you think they were? They're like, who the hell is this weird white dude checking on my rod?
They thought I was like the fucking owner's weird son or something.
Yeah,
like.
Totally. Hi.
Like, at some point, some guy's going to be like, Ian, no, no, son. Just to lure me back with a handful of, like, kettle corn or something.
I had a friend that played, he was bench for Princeton in college. He played tight end, and he told me where they would shower. The Knicks would always come in, and he was like, Ryan, they're dicks. He's like, I would just leave. He's like, I would get water on my back, and when they would come in, I'd leave. Like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, yeah. There's not enough room for their dicks in the shower. Like, just proportionately, it would be a monster dick.
I think that dude, I mean, I had a buddy who used to say to me all the time, he's like, dude, Knicks team, you know how big the average dick was on that team? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Anthony Mason, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley. Dude, you know how big those dicks were? Like, this would be a conversation we would have. And I'm like, yeah, guys, those are probably a lot of big dicks, man. Those are probably...
He was just talking about it like it was like, who's the greatest center of all time?
Yeah.
Like with that same weird...
But Cox.
I mean, starting five dick length? If we're just talking about dick length.
Just dick length.
Strictly dick length? This year? Milwaukee Bucks, probably.
Probably. That's probably right.
But the 86 Pacers, man.
86, all time. All time. 2001 76ers. They only won seven games, but they led the league in dick girth.
Don't underestimate it, man.
That's true. I want to say, and if I'm putting his name on this and it's wrong, but our good friend Steve Simone once, this is the biggest dick sports story I've ever heard. He told me a friend of his worked for the Angels when Vladimir Guerrero played. And he said that his dick, this is a quote, his dick is so big, he could swing it between his legs and catch it in his ass cheeks. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's
you better DH that motherfucker. Just DH. You're not running any bases.
Stole 40 bags one year, man.
Stole 40 bags.
He did. He's for the Expos. Stole 40 bags.
He must have had that shit taped down.
Didn't wear batting gloves either. What is that? You know what I mean?
No such thing as a strike zone. He'll swing a lot of garbage balls. He hits a lot of garbage balls.
He was the best garbage ball hitter.
Yeah. One of the best ever. Vlad Guerrero.
Maybe the biggest penis in professional sports.
He would use it to steal. He would like kind of get like a momentum going with his dick.
And lean on it.
Swinging.
That was disturbing.
Just swinging like a pendulum. And when it was at its apex, then he'd just run to try to catch up with his dick momentum.
And it was like aerodynamic because it would just tuck back in.
It would tuck back. He'd grab it with his ass cheeks and he was off to the races, man.
Forget just it.
Stretch a double and do a triple with that dick.
Safe by the head of his dick.
My dick's on the bag. My dick's on the bag. Go to replay. His dick was on the bag. He's safe.
Dick was on the bag, man. Wait, so was Aldridge just huge?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I mean, let's be honest. It's like one of those things, like, you're just not going to be able to not look. I mean, you're going to try your best.
You're
going to
look at it. You know?
Yeah, big time.
It's right there. Your life is short. You may never see, you know, like here, the world has brought me to this place where I can see what a professional NBA basketball player's penis looks like. Maybe the world will never bring me to this place again. I should appreciate what the world's given me.
Of course.
An opportunity to see LaMarcus's dick.
Exactly.
And if he would have been like, hey, man, I would have showed him my dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If it came down to
it. If it came down to it, man. I'm like, fair play. Fair play. You know, you're not coming into the bathroom at the comedy club. And I'm like, yeah, I'll pull my dick out, too. I would have done it. I respect him. I hope he stays on the Blazers. Yeah. But if he leaves.
Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. Fuck him and that dick. Take your dick and get out of Portland.
Pack your dick with you.
Actually, if you could leave your dick, man, we'd appreciate it.
We need the dick on the
need
team.
Need the dick, dude.
Need that dick.
So we've talked a little bit about you doing weed.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did weed.
But then
weed
you told
last
me
night.
You tried something else recently.
Oh, my God. I did Molly.
I've never done any. How many people here have ever done Molly?
It's fine.
So
it's
many
fine.
People are shamed or like.
It was. I think I can never do it again because I did it in like it was the perfect circumstance. I used to write for the Chelsea Lately show, and she would have us open for her on the road, which was amazing because it was like 6,000 white wine drunk mother screaming at, like, but she did a show in Las Vegas, and I opened for her, and she brought Molly with her. And this is like Chelsea Handler's Molly, so that seems like the right Molly to do.
Yeah.
Like, if you're ever going to do it, feels like she would probably get the good stuff. So we took the Molly, and it feels amazing.
I mean, everyone took it together?
Everyone took, like
pre-show or after show?
After show.
Okay, good.
10 of us.
After Lately?
After Lately. After Lately. All right, fuck, fine.
I was a fan.
But it was like the drug makes, I don't, at least for me, it just makes you feel mirth, and then I started feeling very grateful.
Did you feel any frankincense?
No, just mirth.
No frankincense. It is mirth.
You don't say mirth often. You read mirth, but not a lot of people say mirth.
No, you're right.
It's one of those words. Try to say, say mirth once a day.
Use it today.
See how your life gets better. So I was feeling, just going every... We were sitting at the blackjack table, when it kicked in. And, I got, a Dr. Seuss Grinch smile on my face. I was sitting there, And it was this weird private room in Vegas where, they took people who were, as famous as Chelsea Handler. And then, I got to sneak on, a remora on the bottom of a shark. You know,
Is this smiling motherfucker with you right here?
Yeah.
See with you, Chelsea?
All right. Go ahead, man.
The dealer playing blackjack. I'm terrible at cards and I don't like gambling, but he just told me everything to do. He was like, "You should hit." I was like, "Of course." And then I would win money.
Yeah.
And then we went and I'm not a big Vegas guy really that much at all. And I especially don't like the dubstep and all the house music and stuff like that. It really doesn't do it for me. I think it's a fine lifestyle if you're into it, but we just not for Carms. But we went to We went to this club where some famous house music DJ was doing whatever, standing behind his computer that's playing the music, just being, huh? Yeah, I did this. And I was sitting there and really it kicked in. They gave me like a lollipop, and I was just sitting there sucking on a lollipop, grinning like an idiot, looking like a sex criminal, terrible look,
What do you compare it to? Is it like weed or is it like
no,
ecstasy?
It's like ecstasy.
Oh, okay.
It's like ecstasy.
Yeah, I had the same experience on ecstasy at a blackjack table. I had taken it a few times.
Yeah.
It didn't work. And then I was at a blackjack table with an ex-girlfriend. She's like, "I'm going to run to the restroom." And when she left, the same thing. The grin grew on my face.
Oh, my God.
And I just heard all the ding, 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 ding around me echoing. I was like, this is what everybody's fucking talking
about.
Right?
It feels beautiful.
It was great.
And that's what happened to
me. You feel myrrh?
You feel myrrh. Gold, frankincense, amber. You feel all three of them. You feel eight days of Hanukkah gifts. You feel everything, man. But it kicked it. And, I was sitting there at once hating the music and feeling kind of weird about, the people. But, really, I just felt so happy for them. All these people were having such a great time, like dancing around and listening to this terrible music. And I was just like, good for them, man. Good for them. Everybody
really
needs moments like this in their life.
Really
where they
happy.
Get, you know? I was like, look, you get to feel like the main character in your own Entourage movie.
Yeah.
And I was happy for them. I was happy for them. And then, I'll never do it again, but it felt like the perfect way to experience it, doing Molly at a shitty Las Vegas, a nice shitty Las Vegas. It was like seeing the Cubs at, Wrigley Field kind of thing. Like on a beautiful afternoon game. It was that same. I'm like, this is the perfect place to experience this. And then the next day, I felt no emotion because that's the thing that people don't say.
It's got to bounce out, right?
Oh, my God. The next couple days, you just feel nothing. You're like a German black and white film. It's just...
It's like eating a Snickers bar, you know?
It is.
I mean?
It's
you
like
go
that,
up and then you come down.
That existed. Yeah, right. So don't do Molly, guys. Is what we got here.
So the positive doesn't outweigh the negative?
I don't know if it does. I don't know.
Yeah.
It made me appreciate house music.
Ooh, yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah.
I think we actually have to get out of here,
Yeah.
Are we close? We're right about there?
I think we're there, yeah.
All right. Well, this has been so much fucking fun.
Thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
Ian Carmel.
Ian Carmel, everybody.
Please
Ian Carmel.
Tell them.
Oh.
Let them know where they can see you the rest of the festival.
Thank you. Tonight at 10 o'clock at North Hall, we're doing Funny Over Everything, the show that Sean Jordan, Shane Torres, and I started right here in Portland a few years ago. And we have Kyle Kinane, Beth Stelling, Michelle Buteau. I'll be doing stand-up. They'll be doing stand-up. Shane Torres will be doing stand-up. But you can come late. Like I
go late.
I think Shane's going up first, so.
Yeah, check out Ian tonight. Ian, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It was such
great,
a pleasure.
Man. Thank you so much. And I would just like to say, you know, as I'm sitting here doing the podcast, like, my cheeks hurt. You know, and so many times Ryan and I will leave the studio after an episode. I'm like, dude, my face hurts because we're like smiling and laughing so much. And I know that you guys enjoy the podcast so much. And just know that we do too. And without you guys, we wouldn't even be doing it. So we appreciate everyone that comes out
so much
and supports the podcast. It really means a lot to us.
You're actually leaving the festival. I'm going to be at Boogie's Burgers at 9 tonight doing stand-up over there. So if you guys are still in town around, there's a bunch of shows to see. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bridgetown.
Thank you, Bridgetown. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bossa Nova. We'll see you around. Talk to y'all next Tuesday.
Hope y'all enjoyed this bonus episode of the Crab Feast. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.